Welcome to the World Ventures audio training series. You're about to listen to a training segment recorded at one of World Ventures' largest national events, Millionaire Bootcamp. We theme our national events to add the element of fun and make them memorable and engaging. At this particular event, its bootcamp theme was highly energetic with a driven mindset presentation style. Millionaire Bootcamp is one of our most popular training events. But don't be fooled, as good as this recording is, it's really only a 2 out of 10 compared to experiencing the event in person. As you can hear on the recording, the energy and the enthusiasm of the World Ventures culture is electric. Also, because the trainer is speaking to a crowd of thousands upon thousands of people, there's a level of high intensity, vulnerability, and passionate emotion shared at times. So, sit back, listen, and learn from one of our best training segments that brought the crowd to their feet.
I love you guys. Thank you. I love you guys. Woo! What a day! What a day! Woo! I'm pumped up! I mean, this is fun. Can you imagine the view with 7,000 people? What is that going to be like? What is that going to be like? We got some momentum going, so... Whew, I'm wore out. Can I sit down? All right. Good. How's everybody doing today? Good. All right. I got a short period of time here, and I take my time very seriously to give you guys the value that I want to give you. And here's what I want to do. Matt Morris talked earlier today about playing full out. And it's late. There's been a lot of stuff that's came through today. I know a lot of you are tired, but I need 40 minutes. I need 40 minutes just to play full out. Can you guys say play full out? All right, I need everybody to close their eyes. For the next 40 minutes, I'm your personal sponsor. For the next 40 minutes, I want you to put yourself in a place right now where there's not 4,000 people around here. It's me and you, and we're at your kitchen table. And I want you to log into your back office. And I want you to look at the numbers. I want you to right now look at your numbers on your left and your right. And I want you to change them to zero left and zero right. Just scroll down where it says enrollment date. And I want everybody in this room right now to change it. Let's change it to 7/14/2012. And I know there's people in there who've been here for 2 years and your business hasn't gone as fast as you wanted to. I know I've been doing this thing and, you know, I've had good days and I've had bad days, but it almost never goes as fast as I want it to. And, you know, I'm a simple guy. I was a C student until I was a college dropout. So sometimes we got to play tricks on our simple brain. And then, you know the trick I want to play right now? I want to start over. On three, say start over. 1, 2, 3. Start over. And here's what I want to do. When I was at momentum, I changed a flight. When I was at momentum, I changed a flight. I was sitting in your chair and my business was going good, but I knew there was another level. And I wanted to take it to the next level. And right now, I want you to take your business to the next level. I don't know where you're at, but there's another level. And I changed a flight. And I flew to South Carolina instead of going back to Chicago. And I flew in that night and I did a meeting. At that meeting was a guy named Nate Aho. At that meeting was a guy named Jody Carroll. At that meeting was a guy named Jonathan Henderson. You're gonna see all three of those guys walk marketing director tomorrow. I met them and within 120 days we locked arms and put in 1,300 from scratch. I'm going to tell you exactly what I would tell them exactly on that first day when I sat down with them and I looked them in the eye. What am I going to tell that person? What are you going to do right now if you want to leave here and you just want to start a new team? Let's blow. Everybody should go for a new 1,000 before the view. That's right. Everybody put a new line of 1,000 from scratch before the view. What are you going to tell those people when you sit down face to face with them? And you know what? They did it. I didn't do it. But I know this. We had 8 marketing directors pop on our team in a 10-day period last month. And they did it, I didn't do it. That is not about Eric. But I will tell you this, every one of those guys, when I met them the first time, this is exactly what I told them, and right now I'm gonna tell you. Fair enough? All right. So here's what I want you to know. Like Mark said, I am nothing but a product of this system. If you're sitting in the back and you don't think you can be up here, you're wrong, because I was in the back too. Okay? And when I was in the back and when I was sitting down my first night, I met some people. I met these people in the front row. And let me just real quick make a disclaimer. I am going to steal all of their stuff. So it's okay. That's what I figured out. They don't mind. Especially if you're on their team, they really like you to do that. Okay? So just feel free to copy stuff, okay? And that's what I've done. If you guys look up here and you think I'm good, I'll tell you, the only reason you think I'm good is because all these guys up here taught me everything they know, and I copied and I stole it, and I am a product of the system, and that is it, nothing else. But I was sitting down my first night, Dave Watson was up in front of the room. Who knows Dave Watson? I was sitting in your chair, and he taught me some rules I built this business with. The number one rule, and the first thing I would write down is this. This business is supposed to be fun. Most of you need to lighten up when you're out there doing world ventures. See, what I figured out here is the more fun we have, the more money we're gonna make. Because what are we selling? We're selling fun, freedom, and fulfillment, and that's what we're putting in people's lives. Most of you are treating this like a job. Here's what I figured out. Everybody we want on our team already has a job. How do most people feel about their jobs? Anybody know? They don't really like being there. And if all of a sudden at night we come along and we try to give them another job, who's gonna wanna sign up with you? Who's gonna wanna hang out with you? So instead of having a job, let's throw a party. One of the first things I would do in every new market, we throw a party. It's me and you right now, we're sitting at your kitchen table. I'm gonna tell you to throw a party. You invite people over to your home, your mansion, your apartment. I don't care if you live in a van. You have people come to your own home and we show them the business as fast as humanly possible. How many of you realize the easiest place to get your own friends and your own family is your own home? It's way easier to get people over to your own home than to a hotel on a Tuesday night. So just throw a party. Second thing, and probably the best decision I made in World Ventures was right now. I was sitting in your chair, Dave Watson was up here talking, and I said this to myself, I've never done this before. See, just like all of you guys, I've done a whole bunch of other things in my life. But you know what he taught me? He said, if I've never made at least $25,000 a month in network marketing, you've never done this before. It's different. So I said I was going to listen to him. And I humbled myself, and I made myself coachable. In my first 3.5 hours, I made $1,200. You know what it looked like? I wrote down word for word what he told me and what I'm about to tell you guys, and I read it to people. Went like this. Hey, Troy, this is Eric. I'm a bad reader. I told you guys I was a dropout, right? So I'm exaggerating a little bit, but I wrote down word for word what he told me to say, and I read it to people. Here's what's crazy to me. My friends today, you know what they ask me? They're like, what's your life like now? Like, what do you do with your life? You know the best way I can describe what I do with my life? I travel all over the world and I teach people how to get what I got. That's pretty much all I do. Like literally, we were just doing Millionaire Bootcamp in Cyprus, sold out. 1,600 people there flew in from 20 different countries. They paid $300. They paid for their flight, they paid for hotel. You know what we did? I sat up on stage for 2 days and I taught them how to get what I got. Right now, I'm gonna take the next 35 minutes and I'm gonna teach you guys exactly what's in my head and what's in my heart that got me to where I am today with World Ventures, and I'm gonna teach you exactly how to get what I got. You know what's sad? 90% of you will never attempt what I'm about to tell you. 90% of you that paid $300 to be here today, you paid for your flight, you paid for a hotel, you're never once gonna attempt what I'm about to tell you. You wanna know why? It's because the first night, I was reading a script to my friends. How many think I was comfortable sitting there reading a script to my friends? I wasn't, and you won't be either, and that's why most of you will never even attempt it, because the second thing I would write down is this. Average people do not force themselves to get uncomfortable. And that's exactly how they stay average their entire lives, and then I'm pretty sure they just die. Isn't that a nice thought for the day? But seriously, here's what I figured out. Comfortable is who you are right now. In every aspect of your life, spiritually, financially, socially, whatever, who you are today, I don't know who you are, but you do. And that's called comfortable. And if you want to stay exactly there till the day you die, just stay comfortable. But if you want to get better at anything in your life, you first have to get uncomfortable and then you get better. When you feel uncomfortable, you are doing this correct. You're getting better. You don't believe me? Think of the first day on your real job. See, I don't know what you do. We work with all these bus drivers, bus operators in Chicago. And could you imagine downtown Chicago driving a double-decker bus for the very first time, right? I bet Keith Brown was like really nervous the first time, but if you ask him today, he could do it in his sleep. I actually rode with him on his bus once. It was cool, right? But there was a period of time where he had to force himself to just do it, and then he got better. Same applies to World Ventures. You know what it takes here? 12 phone calls. You write down what I'm about to tell you. You read to people 12 times. On your 13th phone call, you'd be like, hey, Jeremy, this is Eric. Listen, I don't have a lot. You'll be able to do it. So most people here will never, ever force themselves to get uncomfortable for 12 stinking phone calls. That's cool. Because guess what? You're your own boss here. You make your own choices. I am not your boss. I will never resemble your boss. I don't want to be your boss. I want to be your partner. You are your own boss. You make your own decisions, but you live with the consequences. And when I looked at it, when I was in your situation and I was brand new, because everybody's on their first day, say start over. When I was brand new and I was sitting in your chair, I looked at my two options. See, if you don't get residual income coming in, that covers all your bills, that covers your entire lifestyle, you don't get pure residual income coming in, you know what my other option was? You know what I used to have to do? You know what your other option is? You have to work. Yeah, that's what I used to have to do. It sucked. Yeah, all the time. I was in this stupid real estate office Monday through Friday. This is what my life looked like before World Ventures. I was sitting in this little cubicle in my real estate office, right? Monday through Friday, 10 hours a day. Friday afternoon would come, and it was like breaking out of jail. It was like, oh, the weekend, right? And then I'd live for the weekends, and I've had some fun right now on Saturday. But I even knew right now, on Saturday afternoon, I knew Sunday night was coming. See, and I always remember my old life. What used to happen is I used to have to go home, and then on Sunday night, right before I went to bed, I used to have to set my alarm clock. And every Sunday night in my old life, I used to get this little uncomfortable feeling right in the pit of my stomach, because I knew I had to wake up early Monday morning, go work at a stupid company I didn't really like all week long again. You know what your other option is? Go do that for the next 40 years. That's uncomfortable to me. See, when I did World Ventures, I started part-time. I was just like everybody else. I had to pay my bills. So I did real estate 9 to 5. I did World Ventures from 5 to 9 and on the weekends for 16 months. So I was pretty much working all the time for 16 months of my life, and that was uncomfortable, okay? But at the end of that 16 months, my residual income hit a point where it was 4 times the bills I had in my life. And you know what I did? In one day, I sold 7 real estate offices, 4 mortgage companies, 3 title companies, and 40 investment properties to my brother, who still owns that today. Because World Ventures is going to be way bigger than any of that junk. And then I went home, I gathered up the 4 alarm clocks that used to be in my house, and I went right to the garbage can, and I went like that. And just so we're all clear, Monday morning, I will be sleeping until I'm tired of sleeping. Tuesday morning, I will be sleeping until I'm tired of sleeping. Wednesday, I am going to roll over instead of roll out. Thursday, I'm going to sleep until I'm tired of sleeping. Friday, I'm going to sleep until I'm tired of sleeping. Next Monday, I'm going to wake up on a beach somewhere, and I am going to sleep until I'm tired of sleeping. Because I designed a life now where I don't have to be anywhere. I am here today because I choose to be. And when I'm sitting at your kitchen table, when I went to South Carolina, I'm looking you right in the eye and I'd say, listen, I'm not a stupid guy. I could go anywhere in the world to go build this business for the next 12 months, and I'm talking to you right now. We got a large, untapped part of the country. We got 300 million people that need to hear about World Ventures right here, right now, and I chose to come here because we're in the dead center of a large, untapped market, and I don't believe things happen by chance. I believe you and I are here today for a reason. And since we met anyway, and I'm here, why don't we lock arms for the next 12 months and go build this sucker? And then we might not have to set our stupid alarm clocks for the next 35 years. But when you're getting started in this business, it is different than your job, and you may struggle. You know why people struggle? Because your job's about who you are, and World Ventures is the opposite. This is about who do you know. The only thing we care about is your contacts. You're brand new, I need your top 10. Everybody in this room should have 10 names on a sheet of paper, not in their phone, on paper. First name, last name, phone number. Who are the top 10 people that know you the best and trust you the most? I need to see them in 48 hours. The top 10 people that know you the best and trust you the most. From 10, you got to grow your list to 30. Your top 30 are people you personally know you want to be business partners with. To get what I got, 200. I need 200 names on a sheet of paper. First name, last name, phone number. Then I need you to write on top of that list. So here's how you get that list of 200. I know 200 sounds like a lot. Don't get overwhelmed. Let me tell you how we find that list of 200. You take your cell phone out and you do a phone dump. See, I don't want you to think about it. I want you to do a brain dump and a phone dump. I want you to take your cell phone out tonight before you go to bed. I want you to mindlessly write down every contact. Without thinking about them, don't go, Jeremy. Okay. Johnny, no. Johnny's, no. A brain dump and a phone dump. You mindlessly write down every contact on paper. Then you go to Facebook. And you get every name off of Facebook that if you called that person, they would know who you were by your first name. And I know you can come up with 200. But then you got to write on top of that list the two most important letters in our company. SW. SW means this. Some will, some won't. So what? Who cares? This industry of network marketing creates more success stories than any other industry in the world, and it's not even close. You want to know what else this industry does, though? It creates more failures. It's a double-edged sword. I tell the truth. Is that okay with all of you in the room today? Okay. More success. That's the way it works. It's a double-edged sword with network marketing. And when I learned that, I was cool with that. Yeah, just be honest with me. I'm cool with that. But then why do people fail? Why do people fail here? And I looked for a long time when I started World Ventures. Like, how do people fail? There was only one answer I could come up with. Anybody know how you fail at World Ventures? There's one answer. You quit. People are going to quit. So what, by the way? Do you guys realize 1,000 people are quitting McDonald's today? Do you guys think the president of McDonald's gives a crap? Do you think it's like, oh no, 16-year-old Chelsea in Kansas City is quitting McDonald's? Let's shut McDonald's down! Or do you think he replaces her without even noticing? People quit. Dr. Norman Peel is one of my favorite authors. He says 90% of all failure in all of our lives comes from quitting. We're a society of quitters. So I was cool with that, but I said if the only way to fail is to quit, why do people quit? The number one answer to that was very interesting. The number of reasons you fail here and the number of reasons you quit, if you do, and I hope you don't, but if you do, I know why it is. It's because your feelings get hurt. It's the number one reason your people quit. Yeah, when I was sitting in your chair the first night, see, they taught me that we got paid every Friday. That's what they taught me. They said, whatever you do between now and Friday at midnight, you're going to get a check direct deposited in your bank account your first week. And when I was sitting in your chair, I said, prove it. See, I want a great big check my first Friday. Anybody else in this room that would accept a great big check in their bank account next Friday from World Ventures? All right, you seven. It's everybody, right? Okay, good. So if you want a great big check in your bank account next Friday, let me tell you the most important thing you need to do when you walk out these doors tonight. You need to start taking people's opinions. You know, you need to start taking the results. You need to start taking the yeses and the nos, and you need to detach yourself from it emotionally. See, I just look at myself like a waiter or a waitress. I think that's the best way we can look at yourself. Because if we went to Applebee's after this, you guys know what happened? As soon as we were done eating, the waitress come rushing up to our table, right? And she'd go, hey, did you guys save any room for dessert? She'd give you this big smile. And what do you say right to her face just about every single time? No! Go get me a box. I am stuffed. Let me ask you a question. Does she care? Your waitresses don't care? They just go next table, next table, next table, huh? My waitresses care. See, every time I tell them no, every time I tell them I don't want dessert, emotionally they're crushed because I told them no. So what they do is they take a chair. Every time I go to Applebee's, and they take this chair and they pull it right next to my table. And then my waitress's shoulders, they always shrug like this. And my waitress's lips, they always go like this. And they always look at me and they go, dessert doesn't work. Doesn't that happen to you guys? Okay, so that would be crazy. I'm joking. Some of you guys are like, where the heck is this kitty in Applebee's? All right, so that would be crazy, right? I want you to think about this. Your waitress does this, you're going, this chick, woohoo, she needs some help. But just wait, because I already know what you're going to do with World Ventures. See, the first person you talk to when you walk out of here, I already know who it is. It's your brother-in-law, Bill, right? You're going to be all excited. You're going to screw the whole thing up, right? You're going to try to explain it to him. When you get to the end, your brother-in-law, Bill, is going to look at you, and he's going to go, well, that sounds stupid. And you're going to go, oh, I don't know if it works. trust me of one specific thing. By the end of the weekend, you're going to figure out it works. It works real good. Some will, some won't. So what? Let me teach you something my mom taught me. Consider the source. It's your brother-in-law, Bill, who thinks this is stupid. What exactly are his credentials? Like, is he this really successful professional network marketer? Is that's why he thinks this is stupid? Is he a billionaire? Is he in Success Magazine? Or does he not have $25,000 in his bank account? Let me ask y'all this question. If the goal today was to lose weight, would you run out of here and take weight loss advice from a fat person? Me neither. But then who are you listening to about money and business? See, I don't take weight loss advice from fat people, but I don't take business advice from broke people, and a lot of you do. My brother-in-law, you know what he told me? I drove 4 hours. This is almost 4.5 years ago, right when I was getting started. I drove 4 hours to go show my brother-in-law. I was all pumped up. He's broke, by the way. And when I got to the end, I said, hey, man, you ready to get started? And he looked me in the eye that day, and he said, Eric, I was brand new. He said, Eric, I think you're an idiot for doing this. And then he said, Eric, most likely you're going to jail. That's what my broke brother-in-law told me 4.5 years ago. But I knew something important about life before I sat down with him that day. If I was going to buy somebody's opinion, I had to buy that person's lifestyle. Let's be careful when we leave here whose opinions and whose lifestyles we're all buying. To be clear, I do not want to live in the house my broke brother-in-law lives in. I want to live in David Peach's mansion. David Peach in network marketing. My broke brother-in-law is not. I don't want to drive the cars my broke brother-in-law drives. I want to fly Dave Watson's airplane. Dave Watson in network marketing. My broke brother-in-law is not. You know the fastest way I always figured out to get what I wanted? Quit listening, watching, and doing what all the broke friends around me were doing and start listening, watching, and doing what successful people did. That names list is a list of 200 names. It's a deck of 200 cards. You know what your job is? Flip every card. Just show every person. Here's a tip. If the first card you flip when you leave here is a deuce and it's your broke brother-in-law, don't stop flipping. Here's what I noticed about life. The same events that kill unsuccessful people actually motivate successful ones. Do you guys realize there's people that have heard this training and they ran out of here and they went and talked to their broke brother-in-law and their broke brother-in-law told them they were an idiot and they were going to jail. And you know what that person did? They quit. That event is what made him quit. I remember looking my brother-in-law in the eye that day and thinking, I'm going to go make $1 million, you moron. See, I already know this. In life, if you're going to do anything worth doing, there's dream stealers coming. I already know they're coming. It's your choice how you react to them. The same event that happens to an unsuccessful person happens to a successful person. It's just how do you react? See, the unsuccessful people lets it kill them. The successful people lets haters be motivators. And when my broke brother-in-law told me I was an idiot and I was going to jail, I started going as fast as I could. My goal was to show 3 personals every day. I was going 8, 9, jack, 3, 4, deuce. I was just flipping my cards as fast as I could. I had zero emotional attachment to the answer. It's not my job to convince them to say yes. It's my job to flip the dang card and show the person. I'm going jack, 8, 9, deuce. I'm going, you get it? Come on, let's go. You get it? Come on, let's go. You don't stay home. 8, 9, jack. You get it? Let's go. You get it? Let's go. You don't? No $69 cruise for you. 8, 9, jack, 3, 4, deuce. Boom! Popped an ace for my left team. Then you guys know what I started doing? Started flipping more cards, going jack, 8, 9, jack, 3, 4, deuce, deuce. Boom! Popped an ace for my right team. Now, if you're brand new, let me teach you how you get paid. You get 2 teams, they go forever. It ain't about you. You know what we need to do when this training's over? We got to go out in that real world, and we got to go find you 1 ace for your left team and 1 ace for your right team. You find that, it's payday. Game over. If you're... You don't believe me. Some of you are going, nah, can't be that easy. I want you to think about my story. I was brought to a presentation 4.5 years ago just like you were. When that presentation's over, that girl brought me to a computer just like you were brought to a computer, and she placed me on her left team. I want you all to think about something. Since the day I started, how much has that girl worried about her left team? See, you'll never meet her. Okay, but when everybody on my team shows up, she gets credit just the same way I do for almost 18,000 now. Because she flipped one ace left, one ace right, payday. So if we're gonna flip your, find your aces, we gotta flip your cards. I gotta teach you one specific skill. Y'all need to become professional inviters. Professional inviters. There's not many in this room, so pay attention. If I wanted, here's the biggest tip I could give you. If I wanted you here tonight at 7, I would have called you today at 4. That is the biggest tip that most people screw this business up with. See, if I would have called you on Friday to get you here Sunday at 7, you know what you had told me? Oh yeah, I'm gonna be there, 7 o'clock sharp. You know what the odds of you showing up at a presentation 72 hours after you confirmed is? It's 20%. And I hate wasting my time. But if I would have called Dave today at 4, I said, hey Dave, this is Eric. Listen, I don't have a lot of time right now. That's step one, be in a hurry, that's the one y'all skip. Listen, I don't have a lot of time right now. What are you doing tonight at 7? We're halfway done. He has two options. Number one, he could say, he's free. That's called a win. What's the other option? Hey, Dave, this is Eric. Listen, I don't have a lot of time now. What are you doing tonight at 7? Busy's got the kids. That's a loss. You got wins and you got losses. If you're going to treat this business like a business, it's going to pay you like a business. Most people treat this like a hobby. Hobbies cost you money. If you're going to treat this like a business, you should track it. That's the only thing that matters. That's the only thing. How many times, think about it, how many times every day are you calling people and say, hey, what are you doing at 4? Hey, what are you doing at 7? They're saying nothing. That's called a win. The more wins you get right there, the more butts you get in the seats. I got a rule. The more butts you get in the seats, the more monies you makes. See, if you get a butt in the seat, we'll do the rest for you, won't we? See, we train for you, don't we? You just got to get the butt in the seat. We present for you the DVDs, the tools, do all that. You got to get a butt in the seat. You know where you screw it up, though? It's when you lose. You go, hey, Dave, this is Eric. Listen, I don't have a lot of time now. What are you doing at 7? He goes, oh, I got the kids. Now, I was so excited in the beginning. I used to lose and then still try to play, okay? So I'd be like, what are you doing tomorrow? What are you doing next day? Can you get online? And you start begging people to see information? Write this down. People don't follow beggars. They follow leaders. And we are not going to beg anybody to do this business because we got the deal and they don't. By the time we're done with this thing, they're going to be begging us, not the other way around. And what I did was even worse. I went like this one. Hey, Dave, the circus, I don't have a lot of time right now. What are you doing at 7? He goes, oh, I got the kids. I used to go like this, too. No, you don't. You got to come see what I just saw. It's World Ventures, Travelers, right legs, left. You try to explain the whole thing. It's called verbally vomiting. You know what they do right there? They go, whack. Remember I talked about those feelings that get hurt? You know where it happens? I figured out why people quit. When they leave and they try to explain it. When they leave and they try to sell it, bam, they get smacked. Instead of inviting, they try to explain it. Look at it like this. When you go to a presentation, it's like going to a movie. Have any of you ever went to a movie and then gone home and tried to explain it to someone? Did they have the same experience you had by actually going to the movie? Now, if you want them to come movie with you tomorrow night, would you tell them the ending? Or just say, that's a freaking awesome movie last night. You gotta get your butt back there tomorrow at 7. You're gonna make $0. You will get frustrated and you will quit on me if you leave here and you try to explain the movie. In the next 12 months, as a team, we will become financially free if you get good at getting butts in the seats and let me show them the movie. You bag them, I tag them. That's our deal. So if you lose, you don't play. Hey, Dave, this is Eric. Listen, I don't have a lot of time now. What are you doing at 7? You're busy, I'm busy too. I will call you back tomorrow, go to the next 199 on your list. When you win, you move forward. Hey, Dave, this is Eric. Listen, I don't have a lot of time now. What are you doing at 7? Nothing. Here's three magic words you're not using that will change your business today. Ready? I'm coming over. Say it with me on three. One, two, three. Whew, we got a shot. There's a lot of money in that. If I wanted you here tonight at 7, I'd be parked outside your house at 6:30. Why? I've done this for a long time, and I have yet to see one person attempt to jump out of a moving car on the way to a presentation. Haven't seen it happen yet. You know I've seen a lot of, though? I've seen a lot of my buddies on my team outside about 7:05 going like this, waiting for their friends to show up that didn't meet them. You know why they didn't come? They were uncomfortable. How many of you guys realize it's weird to show up at a hotel by yourself when you don't know what you're coming to? People won't even show up. We're not going to be salespeople. We're going to be people. Let's be normal. Let's make people feel comfortable. So go pick them up. Say, I'm coming over at 6:30. They're going to say, why, what for, what are we doing? That's where number one rule comes into play. Trust me, the number one rule is not that you have to know everything here to make money. Some of you have those personality types. You're like, once I know everything, that's why I came here this weekend. Because once I know everything, then I'm going to start making money. You're listening to the wrong guy. I am not the know-everything guy. I am the get-paid guy, okay? I am not going to teach you how to know everything, okay? I'm going to teach you how to get paid, okay? That is not this section, okay? That's called knowledge on ice. That's called the opposite of what I'm looking for. I'm looking for some ignorance on fire. In Greenville, I sat down and I did this training with a guy named Jonathan Henderson. We call him Hendu. He's a monster. He hit marketing director in 87 days. He's a beast. You know what happened? I did this training for him. He left. I didn't see him. I didn't see him for 8 days. Within 8 days, he had a paid for BMW in his garage. Every night I was doing presentations within those 8 days, and people would walk in and they'd go, "You must be Eric." I said, "Yes, I am." And they said, "Eric, I have no idea what this is, but I've known Hendu for 10 years, and I've never once in my life seen him this excited about anything. So I just signed up. I know it's good. Will you just show me what it is?" You think I talk fast now? You guys should see me when I'm excited. See, I made 1,200 bucks my first night. I promise you, my friends on the line couldn't understand the words coming out of my mouth. But you know what I did? I handed the phone to David Peach, who knew how to sign him up. You know what they told him? 12 for 12. I can't even understand what Eric's saying. But I've known Eric for 10 years, and I've never once in my life seen him this excited about anything. Here's my credit card. Sign me up as fast as humanly possible. You want to take over? Who want to get 18,000 at the next event? You want to get 10,000 at the regional? When we leave here, you need to get more excited about this than you've ever been about anything in your life, and it's over. It's over. So you got to show people. So you say, "Hey, Dave, this is Eric. Let's not have a lot of time now. What do you need to say?" He says, "Nothing." I said, "Great, I'm coming over." He says, "Why?" That's all I say. "I got something you got to see." And he's going to go, "What is it?" That's why the first line is the most important. You got to go right back to it. So what do you mean, "What is it?" I just told people I'm busy. Here's a tip. Call people when you're actually busy. We're in the heat of battle at work, that's when you call people. If you have babies, as soon as they start crying, that's when you pick up the phone. Nobody wants to be on the phone with you. Right? Baby's crying. What do you mean, "What is it?" Right? If you're brand new, I'm not trying to confuse you. You don't even have to worry about this whole call. With your top 30, with your top 10, you call them and you say this: "I just found something, I'm coming over." If they say, "What is it?" you say, "It's me." That's what it is. I mean, what is it? This is your sister. This is your best friend. This is your mom. "I'm coming over, Mom." What do you mean, "What is it?" With your top 10, just say, "I'm coming over." If they ask, "What is it?" again, ask them the one question that's made me more money than anything I've learned in this business. Do I have enough credibility with you to get 45 minutes of your life or not? If my friends ask me more than two questions, I will ask them this: "What is with the 20 questions? I've known you for 15 years. Do I have enough credibility to get 45 minutes of your life or not?" That's what it is. You could text. I absolutely hate texting the invite. But if your phone doesn't dial out, just text this. I work with these young guys, and I told them, you know, "We're going to start making calls." I did this training. I said, "We're going to start making calls." And they're like, "Okay." And they're all pumped up, and they go to start making calls. They're 18 years old. They're at USC Upstate. And they go to start making calls. They're all excited, and they go, and I'm like, "No, we're going to call." And they're like, "Yeah." I'm like, "No, call with your voice." And they're like, "Oh, call. Yeah." Like, they don't. Anyway. All right. So, what was I saying? Yes, do I have no credibility to get 45 minutes of your life or not? If you're going to text something, just text your friends. Mass text your phone and say, "I just found something." Do I have enough credibility to get 45 minutes of your life or not? How many people on your phone are going to reply back yes? That should be 100%. Quick tip. If somebody in your phone replies no to that question, delete them from your cell phone. What are we talking about here? It's 45 minutes of life. I'm coming over. I'll see you at 6:30. Last tip, make it fun. My friends, I'll say, "Listen, worst case scenario, I'll buy you dinner. I'll buy you a beer. What is the worst that's going to happen? It's 45 minutes of your life. We need to see each other and catch up anyway. What's the worst that's going to happen? See you at 6:30. Bam. You master that phone call, you never have to work another day in your life. You master the invite, you're done. Because you'll get the butts in the seats, it'll just turn into a numbers game. You get 10 in front of me, I'm going to get you 6. That's our deal. You bag them, I tag them. We are a team. It's you and me. And you get 10 in front of me, I'm going to get you 6. And you master that invite, you're never going to work another day in your life. It's over. But does anybody know what's going to happen on day one? Right when you pick up that phone and make your first phone call? Oh, you're going to suck, baby. Oh, you're going to suck bad. Oh, yeah. There's good news, though. There's good news. Roscoe Taylor, the founder of Team Rhino. Dude's a beast. dude's a beast. I remember sitting in the car with him. We were in Chicago almost 2 years ago, and we were sitting in the car, and he was next to me, and I was here, and we were making some phone calls, and he was setting up appointments, and there was one time I actually had to grab the phone and hang up on that person, because that dude sucked. In the beginning, he's got 4,000 on his team now. 4,000 on his team. He's a rock star. But I promise you, in that car on day one, that dude sucked. Keith Brown, RMD, trainer, beast. I met him at a gas station on the south side of Chicago, and we started making calls, and we're going to do this thing together, and he started making calls, and that dude sucked. He sucked bad. He's a trainer now. He's a monster, but on day one, he sucked. Hendu, guy here at the BMW in 8 days, he sucked. Nate Aho, the team that started South Carolina, he sucked. Making a ton of money now. In 150 days, he put about 1,400 on his team in the first 150 days. But I promise you, on day one, he sucked. David Peach. David Peach is a monster. He's a mentor. When I walk around, it's with him here, it's like walking around with one of the Beatles. He is a big deal. He is making a ton of money. But I sat in the audience for his first presentation, and I was embarrassed for him. Because he sucked so bad. And the best news of all day is there's not one of you in this room that's gonna suck as bad as Eric sucked on day one. So you gotta understand, I grew up in a town where there's more cows than people. I've never done anything like this before. I'd never spoken in front of a group before World Ventures. And I've always been average. I was a C student until I was a college dropout. And I've been average my entire life. I'm even average height and average weight. You guys see that? It's just, I've always been average at everything except for one key factor, determination. Does anybody know the difference between average people and people you see making a ton of money today? Does anybody know what average people do when they suck? They quit. Isn't that noble? That's what they do. As soon as they suck, they quit. I believe the problem is they believe in talent. I believe average people use talent as an excuse to stay in the back of the room. Might step on some toes here. I believe average people look at us up on stage and they look at all these guys coming across and they go, Jeremy Larson's got something I don't have. David Peach got something I don't have. He's talented. I flew to Singapore. I did a training. There were 20 people waiting for me at the airport, and the first thing they said to me when I got off the plane is they said, they're very nice people, but they barely speak English. And they said, Eric, you talented speaker. You know why they said that? They weren't at my first presentation. I don't believe in talent. I believe in it's an excuse that people use to stay average. And stop using that as an excuse, because my first presentation was in a garage. I had never held a clicker before World Ventures. You know those clickers that click along? I never held one. See, and I was so nervous during my first presentation. There was four people there. It was glamorous. And they gave me one of these clickers. Let's pretend that this is a clicker. And I was so nervous. On my fourth to last slide, my hand started shaking on my first World Ventures presentation 4.5 years ago. And it started shaking so bad that on the fourth to last slide, dropped a clicker. My face turned bright red. See, if you drop a clicker on a cold day on a concrete floor in Minnesota, that sucker's gonna explode. Yeah. My face turned bright red, and I saw the door was right there. And I walked out the door, I got in my car, and I left. I didn't finish my first World Ventures presentation. Because I was so embarrassed, and I sucked so bad. Let me ask you a question. Was I talented then? Or do you simply see the result of 10,000 repetitions 4.5 years later, and all of a sudden now I come to Kansas City and there's 4,000 people in the room and I can just kind of do it? All of a sudden now I'm talented. It's crap. See, if you were willing to do the repetitions I was willing to do in the last 4.5 years, you'd be exactly where I'm at. See, I believe God has blessed everybody I'm looking at with an able body and an able mind just like he blessed me. And if there's one thing he gave me, it's just that I'm not a quitter. See, I just learned, pay attention, get excited, never quit. And I sucked just like you're gonna suck, but you know what? I did some reps. And I did a rep, and I did a rep, and I went from sucking to getting okay. And I worked, and I worked, and I went from okay to good. And I did a rep, and I did a rep, and I went from good to great. And I did a rep, and I did a rep, and I went from great to awesome. And I did a rep, and I did a rep, and I got unconscious. The goal in life, in my opinion, is to become unconsciously competent at something that is worth getting good at. Something that allows you to have time and money. Something that allows you to affect other people's lives positively. Something that allowed me last month to fly my dad to South Africa, because he didn't have a passport when I saw this. And he's had been at the same job for 37 years, and we didn't get to stay in hotels when I was growing up. So I flew him to South Africa, and I gave him a wad of cash when he got there, and I told him to go do whatever he wants. Have you ever gotten that good at something that would allow you to do that? I never had before World Ventures. And if you and I are gonna lock arms, there's just a couple more things I gotta tell you. This is a marathon. We are in it together. I want you to write down in big, bold letters the way we're gonna live our lives together. As big as you can, and put it up in front, wherever you can put it in front of you, is what would you do today if you knew you could not fail? What would you do today if you knew you could not fail? That's the way we're gonna live our lives from now on. Who would you call when you run out of here if you knew they were going to say yes? Everybody. That's the answer. As fast as humanly possible, but you won't. And I know why you won't, because you're afraid of a word. If you knew everybody was going to say yes, we'd call everybody we know as fast as humanly possible, but you won't. So what word are we afraid of? Anybody know? No. You're afraid of the word. I got good news. You partner up with me and you make a decision to go all in, the no's go away. You partner up with me, we lock arms for the next 12 months. You and me, sitting at your kitchen table right now, we lock arms, we go after this thing for the next 12 months. People aren't allowed to tell us no. It's not an option anymore. We're gonna do this thing for real. We're making a decision, we're gonna get it. So when we show people, when we go show your neighbor, he's got two options. He says, yes, or we haunt him. He now has two options. See, you either pay me now or you pay me later. But you and I are doing this thing. We're doing it with or without anybody. We're in, and we're in long term. So when your neighbor has his two options, he says yes, or we haunt him, he either pays us now or he pays us later. Pay me now or pay me later. You can't tell me no, because I'm in. See, and once you made a decision that you're in, you get the same thing. See, when we walk arms, see, when we go show your neighbor and he says no, in my mind, it's just like, okay, you're gonna pay us later, right? And when we go show the guy across the street and he says yes, and then he comes to your neighbor house 10 weeks from now and he says, hey, do you wanna do this travel deal? We gotta make sure your neighbor knows that's us haunting him. And then 3 months from now, when the guy across the street pulls up in his brand new silver BMW and he's got a license plate that says, you said no, that's us haunting him. And when the guy across the street's got the for sale sign because he just bought a house cash down the road on the beach, with the money used from World Ventures, that for sale sign is us haunting him. And when your neighbor's kid comes back from college 20 years from now and he says he just joined Dream Trips University, that's us haunting him, because we're in and we're not breaking. And you pay me now or you pay me later, but we're getting paid.